We're discussing the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam in Motzi Shemra, which we began yesterday, and this is on Daf Ches Amud Aleph at the end of this long Tosfos Motzi Shemra. And Rabbeinu Tam says that if the Baal brings Edim and the Edim are disqualified, then he is chayav me'asloim because of the knas of Motzi Shemra, because his Edim did not pass the test and they were disqualified. Now the Rabbeinu Tam gives two cases, two scenarios in which his Edim, the Baal's Edim, were disqualified. One is called Hukhishu and the other is called Lo Kivnu Edusan. So if you're looking at Rabbeinu Tam Adaf Ches, you'll see this approximately, I'd say, 15 lines up before the end of the Tosis. He says, "Umefarish Rabbeinu Tam, dekula shmaita iri leinyan kuf sloim sha'av tovel lebal v'choshin lelaz," etc., etc. And he says the following: that the edim of the Baal were hukchishu, dafka hukchishu. What does hukchishu mean? Supposing the Baal's Edom say that she did this action in such a place at such a time, the second pair of Edom come in and say that she was with us elsewhere at that time, she couldn't have been actively involved in that Maisiznus because she was with us in a different place. And then Rabbeinu Tam gives another example, which you'll see about six lines up from the bottom of the Tosfos. He says, "Oshalo kivnu edusan." Not that there was a second pair of Edom that came in to be makrish, but rather there was some discrepancy between the story that one of the two witnesses told and the story the other told. In all these cases, since we disqualify the witnesses of the Baal, hence he becomes a motzi shem. Now, yesterday we had a long discussion to try to defend Rabbeinu Tam against the onslaught of the Ran. The Ran says, why should he be a Motzi Shema? We don't know who's telling the truth here. There's one pair of Edom who say that they saw the Znus, and the other pair of Edom say they didn't see the Znus. We don't know who's believed. Only in the case of Hazama v'Imanu Ayisem, when they attacked the Edom, then we believe the second pair of Edom. But otherwise, it's a treu treu. So we spent a lot of time yesterday trying to redefine Motzi Shema. And if you take a look on the pages that we gave out yesterday, which is it culminates in Sadi Dalit and Sadi Hey, we're gonna pick it up today on Sadi Hey, but the last piece on Sadi Dalit, he summarizes a machlokes between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. What is Motzi Shemra? According to the Rambam, Motzi Shemra is Ketzad Motzi Shemra Mehevi Av Edim V'Zimum Li'Ede Habal, which means that according to the Rambam, the Chiyuv for Motzi Shemra is because we've proven and established beyond doubt that the Edim of the Baal were Shakronim. They told the Sheker. And that's how the Rambam emphasizes Motzi Shemra. He writes, this is at the beginning of Nara Busula Per Gimel, which you'll see on the bottom right column on Sadi Dalit if you want to see it inside. Motzi Shemra al Bas Yisrael v'nimtza adover sheker. So you want to emphasize those three words, nimtza adover sheker. We find out that the Edus is sheker. And the Rambam goes on to say, how do we know that the Edus is sheker? That's through Hazama. And Mechaskina points out that the Rambam doesn't have Akhoshi. He only mentions Hazama. Why? Because the Rambam needs Nimtza Dover Sheker. In the case of Treu Trey, we throw out the Edom, they're disqualified, but we don't know it's Sheker. Because we'll never know who's telling the truth. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says that there's Motzi Shemra, even if we don't know that their Edom were testifying Sheker. But since we disqualify the Edom as a result of Hukhishu, Hakhoshi means we throw out the Edom, that's enough to be mechayev him for Motzi Shem. I just want to add one little piece to yesterday's discussion, and that this short paragraph here, which starts on the bottom of Tzadi Dalid, Ela Ditzarech Iyun, and ends on the top of Tzadi He. And he raises the following question. The Rabbanan Shita, requiring 23 judges in the case of Motzi Shemra, is based on Chayshin and Lelaz, which means that we're afraid additional Edim will come into Beis Din. Which means the following. The Baal claims that he found it to be a Ba'ula. And either he doesn't have Edim by his own admission, or he brings Edim and they were disqualified. In both cases, the Chachamim required 23 judges. Now, in the first case, where the Baal admits that he doesn't have Edim, Chayshin al-Laz means that we have to be afraid that maybe Edim will show up. But in the second case, where he did bring in Edim, but they were disqualified, so why should we be afraid that other Edim will come in? Now, in the case of Rabbeinu Tam says that the Edei Abal were disqualified because of Hukrishu, because of Akasha. So you and I would say, well, maybe there'll be other Edim coming in, and they won't be subject to Akasha. So maybe that's what the Rabbanan are worried about. So on the top of Tzarihei, he says that's impossible. Why? The Edei Abal claim that she had Znus in a certain location. We'll call it New York. Okay. Now the Hakhasha came where the secondary maidens say that she couldn't have had this nus in New York at that time because she was located with us in Chicago at that time. Now what would be the possibility that the Rabbanan are worried about requiring therefore 23 judges that another pair of Edim will come in? The second pair, if another pair of Edim come in, we'll call it the third pair of Edim, they'll be subject to the same Akasha as the first pair of Edim. Because what are they going to say? Well, we testified that she was in New York and she had this relationship. Well, we have the Edei Av who testified that she couldn't have been in New York because at that time she was with us in Chicago. And that's called Trei Kimea. If you take a look at the last two words in the paragraph, Trei Kimea, which means that two witnesses have the same status as 100 witnesses. So what difference it make if the Baal brings in one pair of Edim and then subsequently brings a second pair of Edim? All the Edim that he brings in will all be gathered together, so to speak, and sewn up or integrated into one kat, and the two Edim that the father brought in to testify that she was with us in Chicago at that time, they would be considered trade committed. They have the same power, the same weight as 100 Edim. So the fact that he jacks up the number of Edim by bringing in new pairs of Edim, that's irrelevant. All those Edim are subject to Akash.
Well, why can't they Edim as say it was a different time, different place?
Excellent. So that's what he says here. The Edonu Choshishin, do you have this?
Yeah.
Right? So he says, why? This is Mitch's question, and somehow the Gevuras Yitzchak is rejecting it. I don't know why, but let's just go through the question then. Mitch's question is, okay, the first pair of Edim said that she had this relationship in New York at that time. So they were hukash. But maybe another pair of Edim will say that at a different time and in a different place she was subject she had this nus. So he says, Einonu Choshishin. Those are the only three words I have.
Wait. That she did the deed in another place? Or she was in another place and therefore she couldn't have done it in the first place.
Well, again, if we're saying that she was in the same place, if let's say another pair of Edim will say, well, she had this znus in New York at that time. Well, right. We have the first we have the father's Edim who are testifying that at that time she was located with us in Chicago.
Right.
So then we apply the principle of trade command that no matter how many witnesses he brings in to support his position, these two Edim of the father will always bat them down, you know, always contradict them.
Okay.
But Mitch is asking, why aren't we afraid that another pair of Edim will come in, that's what we call number three, right, cat number three, and they'll testify that we saw her have this relationship in a different place and at a different time. And then the Edei Av are not being machish them. They can only claim that at that certain time, which was mentioned by the first pair of Edim, she was with us in Chicago, but they can't testify on a different time that she was with us in a different place. They don't know anything about the other different time.
Okay.
So the Gevurah Yitzchak writes, again, he's not here in front of us, so I can't ask him, but he writes, the Einonu Choshishin. We're not afraid, even the Rabbanan who are worried about Laz, we're not afraid of Shayidu al Zman Acher. That two Edim may pop up, you know, rabbit out of the hat, and they'll testify that she had this relationship at a different time. Well, why not? He doesn't answer that question. He just assumes it. And I would have said the following, Jerry, that if she already is suspect of being, you know, this kind of a woman, then who knows how many different partners she might have had during the 12-month period of time. Yeah, Jerry?
I was going to say that the first witnesses involved being denied their testimony because of the father's witnesses. It's clear the Baal is starting afresh. Okay, that didn't work. I'll try something else with new witnesses. And for that, we say, we're not going to go through that game again.
Let me try to see if I can understand what you're saying. The Baal brought in witnesses, and we were makrish those witnesses, which means we're going to throw them out. Their testimony was at a certain time in a certain place. Are we going to now assume that we have to hold on to these judges because of a whole new possibility that maybe Edom will come in down the line and testify in a different time in a different place? And logically, I would say, yeah, we should be choshish for such a thing because, you know, she's living this free kind of style, lifestyle during a 12-month period of time. Maybe Edom will come. Let's hold on to these 23 judges in order to guarantee that we can judge this case, that we can adjudicate or find her guilty and condemn her for death because of these new Edom that are going to come in. Let's worry about the new Edom. So I think what he's saying is the following. The entire case revolves around one Mises Nus. What do I mean? The Laz went out, right? What was the Cheshina L'Laz? Was it, you know, you and I could say Cheshina L'Laz means we suspect this woman's reputation in general. That's one way of learning Laz.
Cheshina L'Laz is afterwards, when a new trial starts. I mean, the first Edom came because the husband basically hired them. Now, yeah. When we start the second trial, now a Cheshina L'Laz, that once the trial gets started, then if she did something bad, somebody will know about it. So the laws wasn't something that already happened.
Again, when you say Cheshina L'Laz, what are we saying? Cheshina L'Laz means that the Edom out there...
There's going to be a trial. Then now we're going to have a trial. We're not sure how many judges. And once the trial starts, they're going to go, oh yeah, she's on trial. Oh yeah. Now the Edom are going to hear about it.
But what I'm suggesting is that she's on, what the Edom are listening to is that she's on trial because of a certain accusation. Is it because of her reputation that's at stake and therefore she may have had multiple activities, or is it because of this particular time in this particular place that we're afraid that maybe Edom will come in because they'll hear about that particular time and place? That's what I don't know.
Maybe that's the thing, is that does she have a reputation or not? If she has a reputation, then maybe someone could come in, but right. If she has no reputation, then what are the chances you're going to get a third set of witnesses?
Right, that's what I'm saying, that the laws itself is not just this amorphous whole, but that the laws is focused on this accusation, and therefore the Edom are going to come in and they're going to say, wait a minute, you know what? At that time, at that place, I remember we were playing bingo in Chicago, so she couldn't have been in New York. And he's saying in that case we're going to activate the principle of trade command, the same two Edom that'll, you know, will testify this, will testify that. Alright, so that, Rabbi Osei, I just wanted to add that to our discussion of yesterday. Now getting back to Tosfos, and here's our discussion of today. Rabbi Natan gives two scenarios for Motzi Shemra. One scenario is where the Edom were hukhushu, and the other scenario is where the Edom were lokivnu edusa. Do you want to see that inside? Just right? He says, "Oh, lo kivnu edusam." You want to underline those words because that's going to be the subject of our discussion today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Olo kivnu edusam. So the subject that we want to study today, I mean, this is only like an entree, so to speak, into the subject. What are these two categories? One is hukrishu and the other is lokivnu edusam. Now, we understood until today, and now we're going to change this based on Iran, that the two scenarios are the following. Scenario number one is there was a second pair of Eidim. And they came in and said, well, she was with us in Chicago. Scenario number two, of lokivnu edusam, that meant that there was some sort of contradiction between the Eidim. And we couldn't reconcile their two stories. In both cases, the Baal brought these Eidim to testify against his wife, and they were disqualified. That's what we understood until now. The Ran wants to shed a different light on Rabbeinu Tam. He's not willing to accept our interpretation. Why? Because if there was a second pair of Eidim, then the Ran is absolutely convinced that that would not be Motzi Shemra. It couldn't be that Rabbeinu Tam would call that Motzi Shemra, because at the end of the day, we don't know whether or not the Baal's Eidim plagiarized, perjured themselves. I keep making that mistake. Where they perjured themselves. But we don't know who's telling the truth. So the Ran, give me just a minute, wants to reinterpret the words of Rabbeinu Tam. And he says the following. You'll see this if you like to follow the text at the end of the first paragraph, Amar Ula, about 6 lines up from the end. The Ran tries to, Farenfi tries to answer Tosus, Rabbeinu Tam, Shehukrishu, the word Hukrishu means Machmas Atzmam, which means that there was a discrepancy between the two Eidim. Now, that's wonderful, because then it means we have to really disqualify the Eidim and we're sure that they're not telling the truth, because the purpose of these investigations is to see if they're lying. And we actually determined that they were lying by the fact that one said this and the other said that. And therefore, the Ran says that Rabbeinu Tam is justified in such a case to impose the Chiyuv Knas of Motzi Shemra, because the Eidim contradicted themselves. It was an inner contradiction. It's not the way we interpreted Hukhishu means Al Yidei Eidim Acherim, and then we're left with this suffix of, you know, Trey, who's telling the truth. But rather, the Eidim themselves, one Eid contradicted the other, hence we know that this story is not true. But what the Ran doesn't address is what about the next line in Tosis, O Shalo Kivnu Eidusam? From the fact that the Rabbeinu Tam adds the word "o," which means "or" as a second alternative. It means he's coming up with a different scenario. But now you tell me that hukrishu is the same as lokivnu edusam. So what is lokivnu edusam in Tosfos according to the Ran? Is the question is clear?
Yeah.
And that's what he ends here. He says tzarech biur mahi atrei ofanim. What are these two scenarios, Shekosvu Atosus, that Rabbeinu Tam quotes. So the thrust of this essay is to try to figure out what's taich. How do you interpret the words lokivnu edusam according to the Ran? So in order to understand that, he starts with an analysis of the case of what's called Eini Yodea, which means the following. We investigated the witnesses, and in one particular case, the witness says, Eini Yodea, I cannot answer that question. I honestly don't know the answer to that question. Is that the same as giving an answer which is contradictory to the answer of the other aide on the same question? So we analyze this in the light of the Shach. The Shach, as you know, lived about 4.5 centuries ago, and he wrote a super commentary on Yoridea Choshen Mishpat. I mean, he's like a Rishon. I mean, I don't want to talk about the Shach, but he's on the highest level. This is not, you know, some sort of secondary commentary. So the Rambam, when he formulates the issue of Edei Mamonos in Perek Gimel Milchas Edus, Edei Mamonos have a different status than Edei Nefashos. With regard to Edei Nefashos, the Torah says V'darashta V'chakarta Heitev, that you need Drisha V'chakira. With regard to Edei Mamonos, the Chazal made a takana that we don't need Drisha V'chakira. We can accept the testimony as is without all of the investigations. And the reason we did that, the reason Rabbanu made that enactment, we had it earlier in the Masechta Sanhedrin, is Shalotinol Delos Bifnei Lovin, in order to protect the Malva, and in effect really protect the Lovin, that the Malva should not be inhibited in extending a loan, thinking that he won't be able to get the Edom to pass all the investigations, and they'll throw out the Edom, he won't have any recourse to get his money back. So they did away with Drishos V'Chakiros. Hence the Rambam writes that the Edus Mamonos ain Edei Mamonos Tzrichim Drisha V'Chakira. Now the Rambam says the following. What happens, V'Haya, that the judges decided to interrogate the witnesses? They didn't have to do so, but they, on their own initiative, they felt that they need greater clarification about this testimony. Is it really reliable or not? And therefore, they subjected the Edom to Drisha V'Chakira. And lo and behold, as you would imagine, as you would guess, they discovered a discrepancy between the two witnesses. Says the Rambam, Im hikhishu ha'edim zed zeh, bedrishos o chakiros, edusam v'telah. So even though the judges were not required, they were not mandated to subject the Edom to this interrogation, if they found a discrepancy, the Edus is gone. The Shach wants to know, what happens if in Drishos V'Chakiros in Edei Mamonos, where again, there was no mandate that the judges had to subject the aid to this test, but they went and they did so. And the aid answered, Eini Odea. I don't know the answer. In Dinei Nefashos, if he says Eini Odea to any one of the Drishos V'Chakiros, we throw out the Edus. But in the case of Dinei Mamonos, where there was no need and there was no requirement to Drishos V'Chakiros, okay, I understand, says the Shach, if there's a contradiction between the two Edus. And if it's irreconcilable, there's something very wrong with this Edus. But what happens if one of the Edom says, Eini Odea? I can't answer that question. Says the Shach, Edusam B'Telo. We're going to throw out the Edom. In other words, once the judges have activated the button, so to speak, of Drisha V'Chakira, then all the laws of Drisha V'Chakira go back to an equation between Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mamonos. So the Gvuras Yitzchak wants to suggest, based on this Shach, an interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam, meaning the Ran's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. Nira lefash, hukhishu hainu shekhishu ha'edim zed b'drishus chakirus. Lo kivdu edusam hainu im omar echad mehen eni yodea. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam is on the same page as the Shach. Again, he was many centuries before the Shach. And he too feels that once the Edom was subjected to Drishos V'Chakiros in Dinei Mamonos, now all the rules and regulations apply, are activated. And again, as I said a million times over, there was no need for Drishos V'Chakiros, but once you go that route, then now all the laws of Drishos V'Chakiros come avalanching up on your head. And there are two laws in Drishos V'Chakiros. One is Hakhosha, meaning when the Edom contradict each other. The other is Eini Odea, that we're not going to accept Edom who can't answer a basic question, which is called a Chakira. They can't tell you what day of the week it happened on. We're going to throw out the Edom. That's the Shach. Memela, now we understand, according to the Ran, the difference between Hukhashu and Lokivnu Edusa. Hukhashu is a reference to a Hakhosha contradiction. One aide said it happened on 3rd Avenue, and the other said it happened on 5th Avenue. The case of Lokivnu Edusa means that one aide said, I just don't know. You know, you're pressing me on a question, I don't know the answer to the question. So that's Pshat in the Ran, according to this presentation. But Rabosai, now we have to ask another question. All of our discussion until now was about Drisha v'Chakira, and we wanted to know what happens if there was a discrepancy, contradiction between the two witnesses, what happens if one of the witnesses says any are dead. Let's drop one level down. What's the lowest rung on the ladder? Does anybody remember what that's called?
Bidikos.
Excellent. Bidikos. What color shirt was he wearing? What happens in a case of Dine Momenos if there was a Hakosha in Bidikos? Well, let's go back to the Rambam. When the Rambam gives cases of Afal Pisha Eidei Momenos Tzrichim Drish V'Chakir Badim Hikteshu Eidim Zetzeh, we're going to throw out their Eidus. He gives two examples. The Rambam says Drishos or Chakiros. What did the Rambam omit? Which word? Bidikos. So in Dine Momenos, you didn't even need Drishos V'Chakiros. In Dine Nefashos, he didn't need Bidikos. Now what he did was, or they did, the judges, they did a double piggyback. Not only did they insist on Drishos V'Chakiros in Dine Momenos, which they didn't have to do, but they even went a step further, and they insisted on Bidikos. And they asked questions which don't even fall under Drishos V'Chakiros, and guess what? They came up with a discrepancy between the two Eidim.
Rambam has Bidikos.
Oh, he does have Bidikos?
Yeah.
Whoa. Maybe they're different texts in the Rambam. Do you have a Frankel edition of the Rambam? That's why. One second. Afal Pishaynaydin is Yisun Kiyuzin Chishwaydin is Yisun Kiyuzin Bidikos. No, it says, I don't know where you got up to. I'm up to this line. The Chishwaydin is Yisun Bidikos, they do some Kayemis. I don't know what's coming afterwards, but I'm just going to stop there if that's okay with you. Just to, but so the Rambam says that if there was
he does mention it.
So as again, if you don't mind, Mitch, at 10:30, you know, or 11:30, I guess we're past 10:30, right? At 11:15, I should say, right? Hit me with that question. I didn't study the whole Rambam. I was just interested in the Rambam here. The Rambam says the following: if you want to underline this, just for for your own eyesight. It's the fourth line, going right. The fourth line on the left column on Sadihe, and you'll see the last word in the third column is the word ve'im. The third line, excuse me, and then he goes ve'im ekhishu ha'edim zetzeh bevedikos edusan kayemes. Now, the Ran, if you remember, the way we interpret the Ran, we had two cases where the edim got into trouble. The first case was Hukhishu Ha'edim, which means that there was a discrepancy in one aid to the other. And then there was Lokivnu, which means that one of the Edim said Eini Yodea. Now, this applies clearly in the case of Drishos V'Chakiros. However, and you'll look at the last line on the right column, Im Hikhishu Zed Zebibdikos, then we're not going to throw out the testimony. And Eino Chayev Mishumotzi Shemra. Now, Rabosei, this becomes complicated. Why is this complicated? Motzi Shemra is a case where we disqualify the Eidim. Now the Eidim contradicted one to the other in Bidikos. What would you say about that? What would be your knee-jerk reaction? Do we believe the Eidim or do we not believe the Eidim? We saw the Rambam says that in Mechishim Zebezeb in Bidikos, Eidusom Kayemes. But wait a second, Rabbi Osai. I'm a little confused. Let me ask you a naive question. Are we dealing with Dini Momenos here, or are we dealing with Dini Nefashos? The whole thrust of the Chachamim in requiring 23 judges is anticipating the possibility of condemning this woman to death, i.e. that this is a Dini Nefashos case. So now, I admit to you that if there was Akrosh and Bidikos, that's not a problem in a monetary case. But the whole point of the Chachamim here is that we have to anticipate the possibility that through their edus we're going to put her to death. Well, I have news for you. In Dine Nefashos, any akhosha undermines the edus. These edim are disqualified under the law of Dine Nefashos, even in a case of akhosha b'bdikos. The Rambam's chiddush here in Perek Gimel Mehilchos Edus is that in Dine Mamonos, we don't require bedikos, we don't require drishas for chakiros, then akhosha would not undermine the edus. So from that perspective, I understand why he should be off, the Baal should be off the hook as far as Motzi Shemra is concerned, because he actually has Adrian, bless you, and the Dusa Kayemes, if there was Akosh and Vedikos. So that's the Ran. So again, on one level I understand the Ran, but on another level I don't understand the Ran. Why? Because to the extent that there's a potential with these Adim to testify against her that she committed this crime and therefore she should be condemned to death, there's akasha here in his edus. Why? Because it was akasha and bedikos. Was she wearing a white blouse or a red blouse, right? So in that case, we're going to have to throw out these edim and disqualify them for purposes of dini nefashos. If that be the case, I would have suggested, again, I don't know if you're on board with me, that should make him into a motzi shemra. Why? Because he's slandering this woman, that she did this terrible, terrible criminal act for which she should be condemned to death. And guess what? He brings in Edim, and they contradict themselves about what color her dress was, which is the Hakash and Bedikos. Those Edim are going to be disqualified. And it seems to me, again, this is just my limited understanding, that the Ran is saying a Gevaldig Chiddush here. Now we'll see what the Gevurah Yitzchak is going to do with it, I don't know. But I would have said that the Ran is telling us that if the Edim that the Baal brought are valid and they qualify no matter what, meaning I don't care whether they qualify in the maximum sense, such that we, you know, the red bell, you know, hits the bell, you know, and even in Edim Nefashos we're going to put this woman to death. No, as long as we could salvage and validate the Edim in any shape or form, then he's off the hook as far as Motzi Shemra is concerned. If you ask me, did he slander her in terms of Hachiv Misa, I would have to answer yes. Why? Because his Edim won't qualify. It was Hakosh and Bedikos. But if you ask me a different question, would these Edim be reliable? Do you follow my point? Can we paskin and issue a certain ruling based on these Edim? The answer is yes. Vis-a-vis what? Dini Mamonos. In Dini Mamonos, since the Rambam says that there's no psul or bitul ha'edus in the case of what? Hakosh and Bedikos. Therefore, we're going to salvage these Edim, and we're going to rely on them as far as Dine Mamonos is concerned. So therefore, the Baal, in a sense, is really justified in his claim that he doesn't want to pay the Ksuba, because as far as payment to the Ksuba is concerned, his testimony, the Edim that he brought in are absolutely reliable, despite the fact that we don't know if she was wearing a white shirt or a blue shirt, and there's Akosha on that issue. But the answer is that Akosha Medikos does not possibly aid this in Dine Mamonos. So as far as the Ksuba is concerned, these Edim are valid. That itself exonerates him from being a Motzi Shemra. Why? Because if he asked me, do the Edim qualify or not? The answer is yes, they do qualify. Do they qualify in the maximum sense? Can we use and rely on these Edim for Dine Nefashos and put her to death? The answer is no, because we don't know what color shirt she was wearing. But as far as Dini Mamonos is concerned, we can rely on these Edim. Now let me see if that's what he wants to say, because that's what I would have said in this Ran. And he says the following, Hare, this is on the fourth line on the left column, the Afagav did the Dini Mamonos imichishu zed zeh b'chakiros ha'edus b'teila. For sure he would be a Motzi Shemra if there was and that's Rabbeinu Tam, if there was a discrepancy in the chakiros themselves. But since in the case of Bedikos, where there was a discrepancy between the Edim as far as Bedikos is concerned, is it Chushu Zed said Bedikos Bimamon as far as Didi Mamon say, do some Kayemes, is there for Shapir Ka'omar Haran, the Rak Bechakiros Chayab Mishum Motzi Shemra, because then We're saying that the Rambam's point is that if there's Akhosha and Chakiros, even in Dini Monis, we're going to throw out the Edom, he doesn't have a leg to stand on, he's a Motzi Shema. Abel Bedikos, if the Akhosha was only in Bedikos, ain't al Chayav Mishum Motzi Shema. But again, I would submit that is a Gevaldik Chidush. I'm not committed to this Ran, because I would say that we have to know whether he's a Motzi Shemra vis-a-vis putting her to death. And in that context, relative to Dini Nefoshos, he is a Motzi Shemra. Because once there was Akhosh and Bedikos, his Edim are Psulim, Edusam B'Tela. Because Akhosh and Bedikos, in Dini Nefoshos, disqualifies the Edim. So he's brought into Edim to try to put this woman to death, and it turns out that these Edim are disqualified. They had Akhosh and Bedikos. And the Ran's Chiddush is a pretty far out Chiddush. He's now going to quote the Maharam, who disagrees with the Ran. So hopefully, I'm hoping the Maharam is going to support our position. But the Ran's position is that since these Edom are reliable, again, we have to use the theory of relativity here, relative to Dine Mominos. And the reason for that is because Hakosh in Bedikos does not disqualify him. So he has brought in Edom that are reliable. Are they lying? It can't be that they're lying, because how can we believe these Edom and say they're lying? You can't say A and not A at the same time. So if we rely on these Edom, at least as far as Dini Mominos, it means we believe the Edom are telling the truth. And Dini Nefoshos are different. You know, there are higher standards of a Shafta Edom and Tzilu Edom, that if there's any discrepancy in the Edom of Nefoshos, we're going to throw it out. We're not going to put someone to death when there's some smoke over here, when there's smoke, there's fire. And why are they being makish each other with regard to Bedikos? But if you ask me fundamentally, are the Edom telling the truth? I'll prove to you that they're telling the truth. Because you're going to be Motzi Mamon, you're going to be Mafsid Hadak Suba based on these two Edom. Because despite the Akrash and Bedikos, we rely on these two Edom. Ulam Hamaram Kosav. Okay, what is the Maram's position? The Beinim Hukshu B'Chakiros U'Beinim Hukshu B'Bedikos Svir Leil Rabbeinu Tam D'Chayav Mishum Motzi Shemra V'Chein Kosav HaMe'iri B'Divrei Rabbeinu Tam. So here's another take, another version of Rabbeinu Tam. And that is, not like we saw in the Ran, that if Hishu Zetze B'Bedikos, he's not Chayav for Motzi Shemra, but no. What Rabbeinu Tam said was that even if the Hilkashu was Bibidikos, he still remains a Motzi Shemra. So I would like to suggest that according to the Meiri and the Maram, this testimony of these Edom is invalid as far as Dini Nefoshos is concerned. And therefore, since we disqualify the Edom, Rabbeinu Tam classifies him as a Motzi Shemra. He has to pay the Knas. But he's going to take the Maram and the Meiri in a different direction. And he's going to say the following. Yesh lomar, demasha kosvu, atosus, etc. The hukashu, o lo kivnu edusam, the hukashu hainu hukashu b'chakiros, v'lo kivnu edusam hainu hukashu b'bedikos. We have now a whole new interpretation of these two categories, these two scenarios that Rabbeinu Tam mentioned. Until now, what we'll be saying is that Hukhashu means there was a contradiction. Lo kivnei dusa means that one of the two Edom said any odea. Now we're going to say something totally different. We're going to say that Hukhashu means in Chakiros, and lo kivnei dusa means in Bedikos. These are two forms of Akrosha, in which one aid contradicts the other in his answers to the interrogations. The first scenario is where one aid contradicts the second aid in Chakiros. That's an absolute no-no. That's a total psul. The second case is where one aid contradicts the other in Bedikos. And that's called Lokivnu Edusam. And in such a case, Rabbeinu Tam holds, and this is going to the Miri and the Maram, he would be penalized with knas, with the mea slayim, because lo kivnu edusam, and that means hukashu bibidikos. And at this point, I don't understand. We're saying that in hukashu libidikos, the edus is kshera. It means that the edim are telling the truth. How could how could the Meiri, and he's going to claim Tosfos, not our Tosfos, but a later Tosfos, and the Maharam, how could they all say that according to Rabbeinu Tam, in such a case, he's a Motzi Shemra? Why? Because if it would be viewed as Eidus in Dinei Nefashos, then Hukashu Bebedikos would disqualify the Eidim, but right? Would disqualify the Eidim. But I don't get it. Now we're making an argument in favor of the Ran. I told you before the Ran was a revolutionary idea, but now he's convinced that the Ran is correct. That since we're going to rely on these Eidim for Dini Mamanos, because Hukashu Zetzev Bebedikos Eidusom Kayemes, then we must be assuming that they're telling the truth. And if that be the case, how can you penalize him for bringing Eidim who testify that she had snus? And we're going to rely on these Eidim. She's going to lose Aksuma. Tzarech Iyun, he says, look at the last three lines in this long paragraph on the left column. Tzarech Iyun, the cave on them, Hikushu Eidim Zed Zebibidikos, Bidine Mamanos, Eidusam Kaksheira. Since we're going to rely on these Eidim as far as Dine Mamanos are concerned, because Hukashu Bedikos doesn't possibly the Eidim, is Amai Chayiv Mishum Motzi Shemra? How can you tell me that there'd be a Chayiv Motzi Shemra if the Eidim are telling the truth? And I'll prove it to you, I'll demonstrate it to you. The Eidim are reliable. We're going to based on these Eidim, we're going to come to a conclusion, a ruling in Dine Mamanos. So Rav Osai, just to summarize, we have here machlokas between the Ran on the one end, and on the other side of the equation we have Tosfos, we have the Meiri, we have the Maram, and this whole plugta is about how to interpret Rabbeinu Tam when he says lo kivnu eidusam. One shot is lo kivnu eidusam means there was hakosh and bedikos. And the other interpretation is that lo kivnu eidusam means that they contradicted one another in the sense of eini yodea. I mean, that's not really a contradiction, but that's the second position. So the Ran is going to learn that hukushu means there was akosha in drishos v'chakiros, and lo kivnu eidusa means in drishos v'chakiros one of the eidim said eini yodea. In both of these cases, we're going to totally throw out the eidim, disqualify them. Hence, he pays the knas. The other school of thought that we mentioned, the whole list, they're maintaining that hukushu means bechakiros, and lo kivnu eidusa means bibdikos. And in such a case, since in dinei nefashos the eidim are disqualified because of their hakosha in bidikos, hence he's bringing in false eidim, and he's chayev the knas of motzi shemra. The question is, we don't understand. How can you tell me he's chayev a knas of motzi shemra for bringing in eidim who are testifying, in Dini Mamanis at least, a totally, completely reliable Eidus? We can accept their Eidus because Hukushu B'Bedikos is Eidusa B'Kayemis. It's not Eidusa B'Tela. So we're going to rely on these Eidus. And we're going to paskin that he doesn't pay the Ksuba. I'd even go a step further. Not only are we going to rely on the Eidim that he doesn't pay the Ksuba, but we're going to rely on these Eidim that he has to divorce her. Why does he have to divorce her? Nobody? Because she had an illicit relationship. When a woman has a relationship with another man in a marriage, when she's married, then the husband has to divorce her. Now you might tell me, well, there was akosha between the Eidim as far as Bedikos. Yeah, but that's not Dini Nefashos. Only in Dini Nefashos, if the judges chose that option of asking about the what we call the Av or Dak, what's the word before Te'enim? Ukse Te'enim, right? And I mistakenly called it dates, but I meant figs. Thank you, Mitch, for correcting me on that. That's only in Dini Nefashos. But when we talk about Isur V'Heter, to the same extent that we rely on these Eidim with the Hakosh and Bedikos for Mamon, we're going to rely on them as far as Isur V'Heter in terms of whether he's allowed to maintain this marriage. So again, if you check off out of the boxes of what these Eidim are testifying, what are they believed on? Well, two out of three of the boxes we're going to check off. We're going to rely on these Eidim. We're going to rely on these Eidim, number one, to be mafsid on the ksuba. Number two, we're going to rely on these Eidim to force him to divorce his wife. Aye, this akrasha, what color shirt was she wearing? That's bedikos. And then we're going to turn around and call him a Motzi Shemra? In Yiddish we say, V'ken Dazayin. You can't call a man a Motzi Shemra, huh? When we believe these Eidim. In two out of three of the relative rulings, you know what I'm saying, the Nafkevinas that come out of their Eidim. Okay, it's true that in Dinei Nefashos we can't rely on these Eidim because Hakashim V'dikos undermines the Eidim. But we are going to rely on these Eidim in so many different ways. And now you're going to turn around and call them Motzi Shemra. How could that be? So that's the Tzorach Ian that he writes here at the end. So I realize now that the clock is our worst enemy. So here we're up to the last paragraph on Sadihei. And B'li Neder will try to finish this up next week. And we're going to go through a Reb Chaim in Hilchas Eivus. Now, where is this Reb Chaim? So you'll take a look in the previous paragraph. Right, I'm not going to say that it starts V'hinei Aran, because that's going to confuse us. There are two paragraphs that starts V'hinei Aran. But I'm talking about the earlier paragraph, not the one on the bottom of your page. So in the middle of this paragraph, he writes, Hinei b'chidushei Reb Chaim al-Levi. You may be able to find that. So that's what we're gonna try to pick up. We're going to try to pick up next time. And basically, our analysis is going to be, what's the difference between Chakiris and Drishos? How do we classify and define the difference between the two? That's going to be, in Mirtz Hashem, our project for next week.
Question, please?
Yeah. Again, officially this year is over. Anybody wants to stick around, please.
So, Lord, Q, I do so. I think I understand it. I have trouble with an expression in the paragraph that starts Amarula. It says, Shelo Yadu Rechaven Edusa. That suggests to me that they've got to stage the testimony in order to...
I think instead of the word yadu, I would use the word lo hitzlihu, you know, so to speak. In other words, in order for Eidim to be successful and have their Eidim accepted, they have to make sure, again, not that they set it up, but yeah, I'm also using the wrong word, but they would have to avoid any sort of discrepancy.
Question. Going back to... relating this to this morning.
Yes.
So you
use the word. I thought I had a cup of water here.
Use the word Drishot Chechirot together. So is that like one?
I don't know. I owe you the answer. Oh, okay. You asked me that question before.
Right.
You'll have to give me a little more time.
But since you were using them, but
yeah, I know. I'm not sure. I plead the fifth. There is some difference, but I don't know right now. There are three levels of interrogations. There are interrogations that are crucial to the case. Like, for example, the murder weapon. Did he deal him a blow with a knife, with a club? Was it a hatchet? Those are called drishos. They're crucial to the edus, but they're not chakiros, because chakiros are seven questions that have to do with only two issues, and that's makom and zman.
Right.
The murder weapon themselves is called drishos. But give me until tomorrow or whenever, it may take me a little time, but I'll get back to you on that. I have to just research that.
Okay.
Because keep in mind, both in Chakiris and Drishos, we're obligated to ask these questions, and if one of the Eidim says any Yodea, we throw them out. So you see how critical the Drishos are. Bedikos is a whole different story. Bedikos is the initiative of the judges. Maybe they want to be absolutely certain, and they start firing questions of Bedikos. Not about the murder weapon, right? Did it go in through his chest, or did it go in through his belly, or through his back? But rather, they ask a question about the color shirt he was wearing. That's already Bedikos. And for sure, the Chachamim the judges are never required to ask those questions. V'hayad, if they ask those questions, they may come up with a discrepancy, and that's going to throw out a capital case. But in the case of Dini Mamonis, it would not disqualify the Eidus. Now, Mitch, if you want to show me that Rambam, I'll be more calm.
No, I was showing the Rambam because you said the Rambam doesn't even mention Bedikos, so I said no, but the Rambam.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to show me that the Rambam holds that even in the case of Akash and Bedikos,
no,
we have to throw out their rates. Okay, good. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Okay, thank you so much.